pulling away before she has a chance to engage her mouth and keep me there. We'll call it the reunion fuck. And that fuck is going to be my new favorite. I swivel my hips, grinding deeply. I flex my hands over her wrists, but keep them where they are, withdrawing from the amazing warmth of her pussy and gently gliding back in. My body is craving a nice hard fuck, but my mind won't allow it. I'm going to make the softest love to you. She melts beneath me, and the wobble of her lip tells me she likes my idea.
Okay.
I lower my face, catching her mouth gently as I start a measured, delicate rock of my hips, making sure my drives are slow and exact, my tongue following suit. I release her hands and let her feel me. I let her control our kiss, tolerating the loss of her lips from time to time when she lazily throws her head around on the pillow, sighing, moaning, struggling to keep her eyes open. She's floating away, caught in a moment. A moment with me. I ensure my rhythm is consistent, ensure she's held in a perfect state of pleasure. I've never seen anything so stunning, and I find myself focusing more on her losing herself rather than my own pleasure. It's no loss. Nothing could ever beat this. My wet skin peels away from her chest as I lift and brace myself on my forearms, needing a better view. Her eyes follow mine, her hands reaching for my face and holding me. Our hips are in perfect sync, her rolling up, me rolling down, each plunge achieving the deepest depths. "I can see why I fell in love with you," she whispers, grazing her palms over my stubble. "Because I'm an Adonis in bed. And out of bed." Her voice gets higher. And then she moans her way back down to a level tone, her eyes blinking slowly. "You're the perfect mix of man. Big, strong, passionate, devoted. You love with everything you have. And I'm nothing without you. And everything with me." I'm pulled down, her face sinking into my neck, and we take the final stretch to release, holding each other tight, breathing in time together, moving as one. A climax hits simultaneously. I don't yell. Neither does she. I don't buck or jolt. Neither does she. We roll through our pleasure calmly and quietly, the only frantic, crazy thing happening between the hammering of both our hearts. I'm alive. So is she. Everything else can be fixed. I'm sure of it. "You want me to move?" I ask against the wet flesh of her neck, mindful that I'm now limp and probably very heavy. "No." Arms coming straight around my shoulders, legs around my waist, she locks me up tightly in our hold. "I want you to stay exactly where you are all night." She turns her face into mine and finds my lips. "Because this is where you're supposed to be, with no space between us. Locked together. Touching everywhere. Her lips resting on mine, my lungs inhaling her breath. "Jesse?" she murmurs sleepily in my ear, and I hum my prompt for her to go on. "I think I'm falling in love with you."
Chapter 29. Just call me a domestic god. I'm getting used to this stupid coffee machine now. I'm also getting used to the fact that it's not ready for me to drink when I get up in the morning. Ava has finally been sleeping well, and waking her come morning is out of the question, so I've taken over her jobs. I flick the machine on and open the pantry cupboard, pulling down the cereals and setting one aside for the kids. It's only when I'm on my way back to the coffee machine that I realize what I've done. The gaping hole in my existence grows, and like they've sensed I'm missing them, my phone rings and I rush over to answer. I smile when I see my boy's face lighting up the screen. Answering, I prop it up by the cooker and continue with Ava's breakfast. Are you cooking eggs, Dad? Jacob asks in greeting. The sea in the background looks amazing, the rush of the waves loud but calming. A holiday. I could do with one of those. Sure am, buddy. I tap the spatula on the edge of the pan before lifting to show him. I'm making your mum breakfast in bed. I feel like I've been born again, injected with energy. Last night was one of the most amazing nights of my life. And better still, I know my wife feels the same. Remember, she likes a runny yolk, Jacob reminds me, having me looking down at the pan and the two very unrunny yolks. He must catch my frown. Do scrambled, he tells me. And salmon. You know that's one of her favorites. I have no salmon, I grumble, thinking I need to get my ass to the supermarket pronto. We're low on everything. But grocery shopping is hardly the romantic date I had planned for later. I hear Jacob sigh and I shrug because that's what I do. How's Maddie? I ask. She met a friend. She's down the beach now. A friend? Nice. What's her name? Hugo? The pan clatters to the stove, my hand catching the burner. Motherfucker! I yelp and start jumping around, clasping my hand tightly to stem the pain. You bastard! Fucking hell! My knuckles are still sporting the aftermath of my lash out in the mirror and door. Now this! I shake it out, grimacing in pain. Fuck! That hurts! Jesse Ward! The sound of my mother-in-law's voice penetrates my senses, and I fly over to the phone, just catching Jacob rolling his eyes as Ava's mother pushes him from the camera. Her face appears, very displeased. Hugo's a girl's name, I stated as a fact. Isn't it? Hugo is a boy, she says flippantly. I don't appreciate it. Just the grandson of some friends. We had dinner with them last night. I get my face up close and personal with the screen, noting Elizabeth backing away. My baby girl is on the coast without me there to make sure no little twerps sniff around her. I'm relying on you, Elizabeth.
To do what? Trample in your absence?
Yes. I look down at my hand and see a blister developing. Keep him away from my daughter, I warn, swiping up my phone and making my way to the sink. Boys can't be trusted. How old is the little shit?
13.
I drop my phone in the sink. 13? Oh my God. Elizabeth, this... I'm interrupted mid-rant when someone takes my hand and I peek to the side to find Ava inspecting the burn. She shakes her head, takes my phone from the sink, and props it up against the backsplash.
Hi, Mum.
She flips on the tap and forces my hand under the flow of cold water. I hiss as she looks at me out the corner of her eye, her expression telling me it's my own damn fault.
Hi, darling.
Elizabeth understandably looks delighted to see her daughter. Too bad. I seize the phone while Ava tends to my hand, keeping it steady under the water. So, this boy...
What boy?
Ava pipes up, leaning and grabbing a towel off the side. I ignore her and press Elizabeth for details. Keep him away from my daughter.
Oh, stop overreacting, my mother-in-law sighs.
She just can't help undermining me, the fucking pain in the ass that she is.
She's growing up, Jesse. You need to let her.
I think I might explode. How long would it take me to get the new key?
Elizabeth!
The phone is gone from my hand speedily, Ava whipping it away and wandering off. I stare at her back, incredulously.
Are the kids okay, Mum?
She asks, looking over her shoulder, giving me a stare that dares me to hijack my phone. It's a fucking conspiracy. All of them ganging up against me.
Good. And yes.
Ava pouts.
He's being very attentive and caring.
I'm feeling better by the day. I don't want to smile. Not when I'm so pent up and stressed, but before I know it, I'm grinning like a loon. She's feeling great. I was, too, until my mother-in-law ruined it. I huff and plonk my ass on a stool, scowling down at my injured, towel-wrapped hand. Perfect. Fucking perfect.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, too.
Ava joins me, holding up the bath towel that's wrapped around her as she sits on the stool. I don't know what comes over me. One minute she's covered in white fluffy material, the next she's covered in... nothing. The towel hits the floor and Ava gasps, shooting shocked eyes at me, and I just grin. Big, wide, and satisfied, making a meal of relaxing on my stool and looking her up and down, up and down, up and down. I breathe in and exhale loudly. Breakfast's looking mighty fine, I muse, earning a few playful slaps across the head. I laugh my way through it as she scrambles for her towel. Silly girl. I whip it away and run around the other side of the island, waving it teasingly. Ava, you're naked! Elizabeth screeches. Damn FaceTime, I shake my head mockingly, throwing the towel over my shoulders. You're naked, baby! Her scowl is award-worthy, and so is my smirk. I have to go, Mum. Give the kids a kiss for me. She disconnects the call and points the phone at me. You're in trouble, Ward. Oh, goody. I rub my hands together. Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. Her attempts to hide the twitch in her lips fails miserably. You're much older than me. I'm thinking speed isn't your thing these days. Much older. You haven't seen me chase the boys away from our daughter. I'm a fucking greyhound. Eyes narrowed, she steps to the left and I step to the right. I'll catch you, she warns. Good. I hope she does. And what will you do to me then? That's for me to know. And I'm gonna find out. I dart out of the kitchen, towel billowing behind me, and as soon as I'm out of her sight, I drop to the floor and lie down on my back. She comes half hobbling out of the kitchen, yelping when she trips over my foot. I catch her perfectly and bring her softly down onto my chest. Seems you caught me, Mrs. Ward. Don't humor me. She presses her palms into my pecs, intending to push herself away but getting completely distracted by the vast expanse of my naked chest instead, her eyes sparkling with delight. The grins are coming thick and fast this morning. Earth to Ava, I whisper, knocking her out of her mesmerized state. You know, she sighs, keeping her eyes on mine as she lowers her lips to my peck and drops a lingering kiss there. I think even if I was still young, I want to do you. Laughter rumbles up from my toes, jolting her on my chest. I feel her grin against my skin, her hands splayed and feeling me. Once I've pulled myself back around, I roll us, trapping her naked body beneath mine. She hisses and I bolt up, worried. It's fine. She sinks her hands into my hair and plays with the strands. The floor's cold on my back. How's your hand? My eyes narrow, aware she's trying to divert the attention onto me. My hand is fine. I flex it a little, testing my own claim. A little sore, but that's all. Moving her hands to my arse, she sinks her nails into the material of my boxers, circling her hips up on a sultry hum. My cock wakes up, and I lift my hips to make room for it between us, the ache instant. I groan, dropping my head. I need to rein myself in. I've taken up far too much of your energy over the past couple of days. Motorbikes, dinner, arguing... sex. But, no but. Begrudgingly I rise, helping Ava up and wrapping her in the towel, ignoring her grumbling. You need to eat. Her shoulders slump, and while I'm beyond thrilled that she's struggling to contain her want, I'm aware of how much I've taken out of her, even if she won't admit it. I turn her and lead her back to the kitchen, sitting her down before serving up her eggs. Questionable eggs. Eat, I order, putting the fork in her hand and grabbing my phone. I just need to make a call. I dial John and leave the kitchen. Sarah rang me last night, I tell him quietly when I'm out of earshot, looking over my shoulder. What the fuck? He's not happy. Good. Neither am I. I fucking told her. Well, you can tell her again. He grunts his confirmation. I will. I have. But she's insisting she needs to talk to you. That ain't happening. The woman's poison. I know that. You know that. But Sarah's just as stubborn as ever. He sighs. I'll speak to her. How's Ava? She's good. The club? So good, he confirms. You concentrate on your girl. Thanks, John. I smile as I hang up, and quickly take the opportunity to call Elizabeth back while Ava's eating her breakfast. Hey. She sighs.
Jesse Ward, I am not...
Shut up, woman. I've not called about the little shit. I wanted to talk to you about Ava and the kids.
Oh. Everything okay?
Yes, actually, really good. And the kids? I don't need to ask. I can see it in their faces every time we talk. They're fine.
They're great, full of questions, but they just need reassurance. Speaking to Ava has helped.
I smile. I know it's been a week already, but our first few days here were spent in tears. I'm seeing progress now, Elizabeth. It pains me to say it, and I miss the twins terribly, but... Can you give me a little more time? She doesn't hesitate.
We were thinking of heading back on Monday.
I love you, Mum.
Shut up, you menace.
She hangs up as I head back to the kitchen and take a stool next to Ava, noticing she's not touched a bit of her breakfast. I nudge her when she places her fork down, flipping her a warning look as I slide my phone onto the counter, ready to commence force-feeding my wife. Stop staring at it and eat. She sighs and loads her fork with a minuscule bit of egg.
Who is that?
John. I get up and pour some coffee. I was just checking up in the club.
Can I see it?
She pops some breakfast in her mouth and chews slowly, watching me.
See what? The club.
Sure. You eat all your breakfast and I'll take you after your therapy session. The flare of exasperation in her eyes makes me smile. Like a good little wife. Resting my elbows on the island across from her, I smile the smile I reserve only for her. Exactly like that. I blow her a little kiss and start clearing up the kitchen. Maybe a visit to our health club will jog something in that muddled mind of hers. Chapter 30. The car park is jam-packed. I spot Drew's car in one of the reserve bays and pull up next to it, quickly making my way around the car to help Ava out. She's quiet as I walk her to the modern building. Couldn't look more different from the manor. The club is still luxurious, but nowhere near as ostentatious. The reception area is buzzing when we enter.
Is that a salon?
Ava asks, pointing to one of the four shop fronts on the first floor.
And a beauty parlor?
Yes, and Rhea operates from that one there.
And what does she do?
Ava lets me take her hand, seeming a bit overwhelmed by the place already. Sports therapy. I nod to one of the girls in reception, who quickly lets us through the turnstiles. And that one over there is a health food store.
It's like health heaven, she says, smiling awkwardly when the girls in reception all wave hello. And I work here.
You sound disappointed. When we arrive at the juice bar, I spot Drew through the glass window that overlooks the pool area. He's at the top of the diving board giving Georgia instructions.
Well, I've always dreamed of owning my own design company, Ava says.
You gave up work to have the twins. It was way before the twins came. But how Ava came to leave her employment at Rococo Union isn't something I'm going into. I often wonder whether that prick Mikhail still owns it, or if he sold it off as soon as my wife quit. When the kids started school full-time, you decided you wanted to have an input here. A doubtful look lands on me.
I decided, or you made me?
You decided, I confirm, and order her favorite power shake. In your words, I'm crap at organizing financial stuff, and you weren't about to let someone else do it.
So you pay me.
She accepts the shake, eyeing it suspiciously. Handsomely, I reply, my voice suggestive and low. She tosses me a playful, filthy look.
Very funny.
You're a director, Ava. Like I said, we own it. I can tell she's happy about that, her lovely lips taking the straw and sipping thoughtfully as she gazes around the bar, where laptops clutter tables and people chat post-workout.
Hmm, this is lush.
Glad your taste hasn't changed, I say, motioning her to the stairs that lead to the gym floor. Her face is suddenly bright and chirpy as she flanks me, her lips stuck to the straw.
That would have been a bit of a shock for you, wouldn't it?
What would?
Well, if I came around and didn't fancy you.
She titters as we take the stairs, amused. So you fancy me? I say, sounding casual and unaffected.
You're all right, I suppose.
The nerve. I nudge her and she chuckles, coming to a stop at the top of the stairs when the gym floor comes into view.
Wow.
Turning slowly on the spot, she takes in the vast space. It could take her a while. A body pump class is happening on the grid across the way. A team of serious weight trainers are lifting in the corner. A group of women are speed cycling at the far back. And then the glass-fronted studios are all full. One class or another happening in each. All the endorphins bouncing around the place are sinking into my skin, and I wish I could hit the treadmill. Exercise has always been a blessing to me, a perfect way to alleviate stress. And now, when I'm the most stressed I've ever been, I haven't had the opportunity to expel it. Many people pass us, clients and staff, all saying hello, smiling, clearly pleased to see us. But Ava doesn't recognize any of them. She just smiles awkwardly, becoming increasingly uncomfortable by the second.
I'm here every day,
she asks, her tone not cluing me in on whether that pleases her or daunts her. I'm hoping it pleases her, and then maybe she'll lose that silly idea of working elsewhere. Yes, with me. She seizes my hand without prompt, clinging to it harshly.
It's very loud.
Shit, she's right. It's banging, nothing unusual, but Ava's head is delicate. I pull her on, keen to get us away from the pumping gym floor to somewhere quieter. Here. Opening the door to her office, I usher her in and shut out the noise. That's better. She probably couldn't hear herself think. She wanders in quietly, taking in the space that she frequents daily, my eager eyes looking for some recognition in her face. She finds the picture frame on the desk and lifts it, smiling down at the photograph of us all. It's just another piece of evidence that this is real, that she's not about to wake up at any moment and discover she's been trapped in a dream. Your office is very nice, she says, setting the frame down. My office? This isn't my office, Ava, I say, taking my usual spot on the couch by the window. This is your office. Her eyes widen a fraction, going on another little journey around the space.
Mine?
She questions, obviously thrown. Reclining, I smile at her wonder. Yours? I watch as she pulls her chair out from her desk and sits down, tugging open a few drawers. She takes something out and flashes it to me on a grin. Setting the red nail polish on the top, she sits back and I smile, thinking she looks as sexy as ever when she's behind that desk.
I feel very important.
You are. I kick my ankle up onto my knee and rest my elbow on the back of the couch.
So where's your office?
I'm sitting on it. Her smile is given through a frown. You work from that couch?
Yes.
And what work do you do from there? She kicks her feet up onto the desk while I kick mine up onto the couch, lying back, arms behind my head, all comfy. I wish you could see what I see when I'm in here. I see us in every available surface, me between her legs,
God, how many times have I taken her on that desk? The only work I get done while I'm in here is admiring my wife. It's a very important part of my day. Slacking on the job? The boss isn't setting a very good example. I'm thoroughly amused by her words. Ava, everyone around here knows that it is you who's boss, not me. That's absurd. She picks up a pen and starts to fiddle with it, weaving it through her fingers in feigned concentration. You're a control freak. I can't imagine you let me take the reins in your fancy health club. I'm only a control freak when it comes to you, and it's our health club. She nods, thoughtful, gazing around. So while I'm slaving away, you just lie there looking pretty, do you? I lift my head a little, eyebrows high. You think I look pretty? I'm playing it all cool, but inside I want to jump up and rock out to a bit of J. Timberlake. She's being rather open with her attraction today, almost blatant, almost suggestive. It's no wonder she has a headache. Her eye rolls are constant and impressive. How do I concentrate with you loitering around? She goes into another drawer and pulls out a few files, frowning at them. Then a calculator that she sets to the side, and finally a nail file. She looks delighted with her find as she takes it to her nails. I leave you to work. Fuck, what was I thinking bringing us in here? All my intention is to make her take it easy are forgotten. Lost. She's sitting there in her pretty little sundress and flip-flops, her hair a mess of loose waves, her face makeup-free, and she looks fucking edible. And that desk is calling. I throw my legs off the couch, getting up, and stride toward her. The side-to-side motion of the file slows as I near, her eyes lifting up my tall frame to my face. You're not lying down now, she points the file at me, as if I might have missed the fact that I've got myself to my feet. Does that mean you're going to do some work? Oh, yes. I sit on the edge of her desk, my gaze never wavering from hers. I'm going to do some work, all right. Breath hitching, body subtly fidgeting, eyes filling with hunger, nipples hardening against the material of her dress. My eyes drop to her crotch, my head tilting. She's wet, too. I can smell it from here. Behave. She all but squeaks, going back to filing her nails, doing a terrible job of feigning coolness. She's on fire. I can practically see the flames on her skin, and all of these reactions have the usual effect on me. She has her usual effect on me. This woman makes my veins burn, makes my eyes sting just looking at her, makes my heart surge with adoration. See, that's always been a problem for me, Ava. I place the tip of my finger in the shiny wood of her desk and drag it lazily across the surface. I've never been able to behave when it comes to you. Wherever, whenever, she murmurs, lust spilling out over every word. We've had sex in this office, haven't we? The couch, the floor, the desk against the door. I take her feet from the desk and use them to pull her closer on her rolling chair, smiling when she sticks herself to the back. Plucking the file from between her limp fingers, I flick it across her desk and lower her feet to the floor, straddling her lap and placing a palm on either side of her head. I have many fond memories in this office, baby. I wish you had them too. I dip, touching her nose with mine, loving the feel of her breathy pants hitting my face. But I'm going to love making more. I place my hand between her thighs, going in for the kill. I'm too wound up to resist. Last night has only made me hungrier for her. And besides, I know my wife well enough to know when she wants it, and she wants it now. Spread them. Her legs split open immediately, and before I have the chance to kiss her, she's kissing me. I'm attacked with brutal force.
her body up out of the chair faster than is wise, yet I'm in no position to stop her. I sit her on the desk, putting myself between her thighs. When her mouth devours mine, her frantic hands work the button of my fly, yanking impatiently, small growls backing up her frustrated, fumbling fingers. I smile around our kiss, my grip of her hair gentle, contradicting her force. I rip my lips away from her, finding her eyes. She looks drunk. I draw back and pull up my t-shirt over my head. Who has the power, baby? You, she murmurs, reaching for the waist of my jeans and tugging me forward. Her hand soon finds my cock, pulling it free and squeezing gently. I'm so fucking thrilled that she still knows that, still feels it, still wants me with a craving she can't control. I am her god. Jesus, this woman rules me, controls me. She keeps my blood chasing through my veins, my heart beating, my soul pure, and right now she doesn't even know it. She needs reacquainting with the feelings that always cripple us, that take us to heights no one could ever understand, the feelings that make us, us. I think she's more or less there already, even before this moment. Even before we made love, even if she's confused by our connection and the natural reactions we have to each other, they're all still there inside her, there to be uncovered. I'm going to fuck you too. I'm interrupted from finishing my promise when the door of the office flies open, and there's only a split second before a shocked yelp penetrates the room. Oh my God, I'm so sorry! I just catch sight of a distressed-looking Cherry before the door slams, leaving us alone again. Oh, God, how embarrassing. Ava scrambles up from the desk with the help of my hand. Who was that? Cherry. I steady Ava on her feet and push her hair from her eyes and a smile. She's all in a fluster, and it's sexy as hell. Who's Cherry? She works for us. Wait there. I head to the door, damning myself for not locking it. Fucking hell, I'm charged.
Jessie!
Ava calls and I turn, finding her pointing at my groin area as she dips to collect the things we've knocked from the desk. You might want to put yourself away, and maybe put your t-shirt back on. She throws it to me and I catch it, looking down at my crotch. Shit. I'm hanging out all over the place. I hear her chuckle as I continue to the door, tucking my cock into my boxers and fastening my jeans. Swinging the door open, I find Cherry standing outside, her cheeks crimson. Her gaze drops to my chest, her body visibly softening. Oh, there it is, she whispers under her breath. What? She snaps out of her little trance and looks up at me.
Good to see you, Jessie.
The tone of her voice is effortlessly husky and her eyes are flashing delightedly. She smiles, giving me the once-over again, hugging the files to her chest. The pressure pushes her tits up. Again, not that I'm purposely looking. They're kind of just... there. I ignore her blatant flirting, looking past her down the corridor when I hear the sound of footsteps. Heavy footsteps. That can belong to only one man. John strides toward us, his signature shades firmly in place. Cherry, he rumbles, nodding sharply at the woman outside my office before turning his eyes on me. What are you doing here? We're not staying. I pull my t-shirt on as I back up into the office to let them in, ignoring the grin on Cherry's face. John spots Ava at her desk, her smooth forehead crinkling a little. Hey, girl.
Hey.
She says quietly, looking past me to the woman who's on the threshold of her office. She also looks wary, maybe a little pissed off. And it's not because Cherry put the blockers in our moment. I quickly move aside when Cherry wanders in, her arm brushing mine.
It's lovely to see you, Ava.
She reaches the desk and smiles brightly at my wife, who looks at her with a little suspicion.
Sure it is, she mumbles, all hostile. Would you mind giving us 5 minutes?
She says to Cherry, The question sounding like anything but a question, her tone flat, her smile sickly sweet.
Of course.
Terry backs away, turning and sashaying to the door. She definitely straightens her back in the way, and she definitely has a little pouty lips thing going on. Fucking hell. I roll my eyes and face my annoyed wife. Maybe annoyed is an understatement. Seething seems more appropriate. She isn't a happy girly, and I'm thrilled. She cocks her head in question, and I just shrug. What can I say? I've given Cherry a few more responsibilities in Ava's absence, John says, maybe a little cautiously. Sorry if I've upset you, girl.
Don't worry,
Ava grumbles moodily. It's not like I can remember how to do my job anyway. She picks up a few bits of paper from the floor and scans them before chucking them back in the desk and dropping to the chair. The accounts need to be kept in check. Membership fees collected, credit is paid, the big man continues, showing a rare pacifying side. You don't need to be worrying about work at the moment. I join John in his attempts to make Ava feel better, because despondency over work isn't good when she's spouting off shit about other jobs. Over my dead body. We need to focus on getting you well. Her scowl is pointed at me, though I know she's more annoyed with herself. I feel fine, she grumbles, pushing herself to her feet. And I also don't need to be worried about some hussy coming on to my husband. John coughs, and I smile like a madman on the inside. She's not only being possessive over me, which alone is thrilling, she's also being possessive over her job. This is good. She can quit with the stupid idea of getting another one. No woman turns my head unless it's my wife, I remind her, wandering over and collecting her hand. You know that. Her over-the-top pout is so adorable. She wants reassurance. I'll give it. All day, every day. I hope we once again get to the point when she doesn't need it anymore. I know that. She puts herself on my chest, her arms slipping around my back, her cheeks squished against my t-shirt. For such an old man, you're in high demand, Jesse Ward. I recoil, and John laughs his laugh that's capable of shaking a building. Go home, he chuckles, making for the door. I'm keeping Cherry in check. Thanks, John. I wrestle Ava from my front and turn her, leading her to the door. Old? Her shoulders jump under my palms. Your age doesn't seem to be making the slightest bit of difference to the attention you get. That Cherry must be 10 years younger than me. You being all possessive? I kiss her cheek as we walk back to the main floor of the gym, me tailing her, her hands now resting over mine where they lay on her shoulders. Because I like it. She comes to a stop and her body starts jerking a little under my touch. Worried, I round her. She has the biggest smile on her face. What? I ask. Lifting her arm, she points, prompting me to look over my shoulder. Rowing machines, she says, definite humor edging her tone. Though it's obvious she's unsure why, a small frown marring her smile when I return my attention to her. What's so funny? I ask. I don't know, she shakes her head. Do you like rowing? I grin, looking back at the machines, thinking they've developed a lot over the years. There's no way I could execute the perfect slide and hit in one of those things. I'm so glad I kept my old one. We love rowing. We do. She seems surprised by the revelation. Am I good at it? I chuckle to myself, feeling my eyes spark with revived fire. You're very good at it. What, like all romantic, rowing on the river type of thing? Sunshine, peace, and gooey romantic words? Her eyes gleam. I'm about to burst her idyllic bubble. My palm creeping across her shoulders, I pull her into my side and start walking us away from the rowing machines. Not quite like that. I feel her look up at me in question, prompting me to go on. Our rowing is very unique. Why doesn't that surprise me?
So come on, then. How do we row?
I nodded a few patrons as they passed, the men wiping their sweaty brows with towels. It involves me sitting on the seat and you sitting on me.
On those things?
She questions, stopping us and turning to inspect the machines again.
How is that even possible?
I don't think it is. I look down at her, grinning, and take a hand, tugging her back over. Come on, let's try. Her resistance is instant, her spare hand wrapped around my wrist, trying to stop me, her feet digging in.
Jesse!
She's laughing, but it's loaded with nerves.
We're in the middle of the gym floor.
So? My strength will always win, and I have her where I want her within a few seconds. Her dark eyes scan the length of metal, worry written all over that gorgeous face. Keeping hold of her hand, I lower myself to the seat and pat my thigh. All aboard, I tease, and she bursts into fits of giggles, the sound saturating the space around us.
Stop it.
No. I yank her forward and have her straddling my lap before she can protest again, her torso locked to my chest, our cheeks pressed together. It goes something like this, I say quietly in her ear, using my feet to glide us down the railing. Slide, I whisper the word, and then launch us back up until our bodies jolt at the other end. And hit. She finishes for me. The impact of her chest crushing to mine, her groin rubbing into me, the words that have come from deep within her, it's a potent cocktail, causing wild activity past the fly of my jeans, activity that my wife hasn't missed. She pulls back, her palms on my shoulders, and tilts her head. Oh dear, she murmurs, wickedly grinding her hips into me. Now you stop it, I warn, quickly lifting us from the seat before I'm pushed over the edge of control and give endless members of our club a show they won't forget. She giggles softly and puts herself on my chest, her hand on my nape, pulling my lips down to hers. She kisses me hard, possessively. I'm taken aback, but in no way complaining. What was that for? I ask, when she slows the roll of her searching tongue.
Just felt like kissing you.
She pulls back, pouting.
I'm allowed, right?
Stupid fucking question. I turn us to get us on our way, coming face to face with Cherry.
Oh.
Ava moves into my side, clinging onto my arm. Sorry, I didn't see you there. Cherry's smile is pushed through gritted teeth and I sigh, tugging Ava along before she moves into true trampling mode. I flip a tired look down at her as we take the stairs.
What?
She asks, all innocent and pouty. Nothing. I fight to keep my grin contained. It's hard. Because I've just been marked. Chapter 31 You need to sleep.
I want you to finish what you started in the office.
There's fire in her eyes. Pure, possessive fire. I smile in the inside. But, and it pains me to say it, she needs rest. I'm taking too much out of her.
Bed.
She gazes up at me as we slowly take the stairs, too many wicked intentions spilling from the depths of her dark eyes.
I want a bath.
Jesus, Ava, are you trying to finish me off? Wet, slippery skin won't help my cause. On a little chuckle, her head meets my bicep, and I notice her steps becoming more labored as we reach the top of the stairs.
You can scrub my back.
You're evil. Entering the bathroom, I eye the huge marble tub like I hate it. She'll be lost in there all alone. Maybe I could join her, because I could easily get away with not touching her if I stay way on the other side.
It's massive.
She breaks away from me and starts drawing herself a bath, picking up a bottle of bubble bath from the side and taking it to her nose, inhaling before adding a massive dose to the running water. We like having baths. I move across to the cream-crushed velvet chair that sits in the corner and put my big body in it. You pick the tub. She takes in the mammoth thing, humming to herself. It's very me. It's very me, too, especially when you're in it. She keeps her eyes on the filling tub. So you're just going to sit there and watch me? She slowly pulls a sundress over her head and takes her underwear off. Fuck me. I press myself into the back of the chair, every muscle solid, in an attempt to stop from shooting up and tackling her to the floor. She's playing games. Ava, don't tease me. With her chin on her shoulder, she coyly glances over at me. It's wonderful to see my temptress showing signs of returning to her former glory, yet it's agony that I can't utilize it to its fullest. I want you to have a bath with me. I don't trust myself. Didn't bother you last night. I scrub my palms down my face, hanging on to my resistance. She wants me. You're overdoing it. I feel fine. Her brown eyes, shimmering and bright, reinforce her claim, and the sense of satisfaction is unreal, but still. I shake my head since my mouth refuses to decline and fold my arms over my chest.
Suit yourself.
She shrugs her naked shoulders and steps into the tub as it continues to fill. I'm not a happy man, but I just can't deprive myself of the pleasure of looking at her, admiring her, thinking about how crazily I love her. So fucking much. Even now, when she's not quite fully mobile, her moves are graceful. She carries herself with a subtle power that has awed me since the day she wandered into my office. She is, quite simply, the most enthralling person I've ever encountered. And she's mine. Beautiful and elegant with a sprinkling of sass. My head tilts in silent contemplation. A sprinkling of sass. Not if you consider her potty mouth. Then I'm smiling because I know that potty mouth is enhanced by me. Ironic, really, I'm the catalyst for her foul language, the language that drives me to distraction. My mind continues to wander as I watch her swishing the water with her feet to build the bubbles. Last night was beyond beautiful. We came together like we'd never been apart. And as she stared up at me while I lazily rocked into her, I knew she felt the overwhelming connection. Maybe I'd hoped our lovemaking would dislodge whatever's holding back her memories, but I didn't dwell on the fact that it didn't. I was too blindsided to care in that moment. Jesse? I'm awakened from my thoughts by the soft call of my name, and I find her with a hand held out to me. Please. How can I refuse? Simply put, I can't. I get up and strip down, drawn to her by an invisible force that's magic in its power. Taking her hand, I step in the tub and walk her forward a few paces, and then lower myself, bringing Ava carefully down with me until she's snug between my thighs. We'll have some tub talk. I take her hair and push it over her shoulder and down her front. You think you can resist me? No. Her arms come up over her head and circle my neck, her head resting to the side, her eyes closing. What's paradise? She asks, the question coming from left field. I keep seeing blue sea and... She pauses for a beat, thinking. I think it's a villa. I recline and slide my hands onto her tummy. It's a special place. We got married there. You told me we got married at your fancy sex club. Her eyes remain closed, only confirming the exhaustion she's trying to fight. We did. We renewed our vows on the beach, I smile fondly. And then I took you for a swim in the sea. Sounds romantic. Her legs entwine with mine, slippery skin on slippery skin. Tell me how old you are. Before I can utter a lie again, I give pause, wondering if it will truly mean anything to her if I continue with this game. So far, it hasn't spiked a damn thing in her mind. I chew over my next move for way too long and finally decide to bite the bullet. I just turned 50. I don't know what to expect. Maybe a gasp of shock, or horror, or... I don't know, but the silence seems worse, because no shock means I must fucking look my age. Long seconds pass. Still, no reaction. Maybe she's fallen asleep, or maybe she didn't hear me, or maybe she thinks she didn't hear me right. I said, I heard you. Cutting me off, she opens her eyes and looks up at me. I already knew. I just wanted to see how long you'd keep up the blatant lies. She knew.
How?
Kate told me. She returns to her comfy spot and sighs while I plot my revenge on Kate. So I guess that means I don't need to handcuff you to the bed this time. Kate is forgotten. Hope is back.
You remember?
No, Kate told me. She chuckles and I sag in disappointment. I can't believe I did that to you. Neither could I. I grumble, absent-mindedly tracing circles on her hips with the tips of my fingers, relishing her subtle squirms. A comfortable silence falls, Ava snoozing peacefully, me staring at the ceiling, happy to let her rest undisturbed. I have a few precious days before the kids come home to help Ava find a breakthrough she needs, and my confidence that I can is slipping with each hour that passes. With the twins home, we'll have to readjust all over again. Trivial things such as taking them to school will be an issue for both of us. Ava, because she doesn't even know what damn school they go to or where it is, and me, because I never want to let her drive ever again. Never want her to leave my sight. Leaving my family even for only a few hours has always been a challenge for me. Stupid, yes. Or maybe not so stupid given where I am now. The first day of school for the twins was one of the worst days of my life. The teacher didn't take too kindly to me refusing to leave the classroom, and Ava ended up dragging me out by my shirt. And to rub salt into my grumpy wounds, my babies didn't bat an eyelid when I left. I sulked the whole way to work. But, of course, my wife can't remember any of that. Remember, I demand silently, boring holes into the back of her head, willing the memories to rise to the surface. Remember me. Remember us. This helpless feeling isn't getting better, no matter how many new memories I'm building in an attempt to replace the old ones. The old memories are the original memories. Back then, she didn't need to love me. She chose to, even though it could be argued that I didn't give her much choice. Now, I can't help the tinge of worry that this time she really doesn't feel like she has much choice. She woke up with that ring on her finger. She woke up with a ready-made family. She woke up to people she loves and knows, telling her who I am and who she is, my wife, the mother of my children, my fucking world. My sigh is deep, despondent, and my chest lifts, rolling Ava upon it. I flatten my palms on her hips and stroke gently onto her thighs, making wide circles across her skin. I don't miss the slight tensing of her body, and I notice her nipples have hardened in the steaming water. Her arms, still linked over my head, shift a little, as does her bottom, catching me a treat on my growing cock. I cringe to myself and still my hands. What was I thinking, putting myself in the bath with her? Talk about a glutton for punishment. She shifts again, and this time I growl under my breath, biting down in my teeth to get me through the amazing feeling of a soft ass nuzzling my cock. She's doing this on purpose, trying to break me, wear me down, get the upper hand. My hands take on a mind of their own and slide a fraction inward, taking my text between her thighs. I relax and let my senses guide me, and right now my senses want her in every way they can. My face plummets to her hair, and I inhale, my fingers creeping closer to her center. Her legs spread, opening like they could be the gates to heaven. Her face turns out, her cheek resting on my peck, her eyes closed, her lips parted. You want me to touch you, baby? I ask quietly, skimming the swollen lips at her entrance, teasingly before withdrawing, going back to circling her thighs. Her body arches on me, her boobs lifting, sending streams of water pouring down the sides of her body. Is that a yes? One hand leaves the back of my neck and reaches down for my hand, trying to put it where she wants it to be. The fact that that's where I want my hand to be, too, is beside the point. She needs to ask. Nicely. Tell me. I all but growl, resisting her attempts to move my hand. You want my fingers where my cock was last night. I break free of her hole and take my hands to the perfect mounds of her wet breasts, cupping each one. All she seems to be able to do is mumble broken sounds of pleasure, water lapping her body as she gently squirms on top of me. I can't hear you. I dip and nibble at her ear. Lost for words, lady. Oh, God. I smile. That's better. I move my hands back to between her legs and massage her gently, keeping my touch just shy of her entrance. Fuck, she feels so good. So wet, so warm, so mine. Her whole being goes lax above me, every curve melting into my chest and thighs, her weight perfectly placed, her arms back to curling around my neck. Her head falls limply to the side, eyes drowsy, and I just watch her, transfixed as I play with her, tease her. Slowly breach her entrance and withdraw again. Feel good, I whisper. Her answer is a long, breathy sigh. I'm fucking solid, but I have no desire to roll us over and sink into her. I just want to watch her take the pleasure I'm giving. All day long. Her swollen flesh slides across my touch divinely. Her soft walls suck my fingers in insatiably. The tips of her nipples beckon me. She is gorgeous. The only sign of her slow build to orgasm is the increasing tension in her body, subtle but obvious when she's spread all over me, her back slipping across my chest. Half of me wants to maintain this level of pleasure for her, where she's teetering on the edge, ready to roll over and seize her climax. But the other half of me wants to hear her scream my name. My control is taken away from me when she suddenly spins, her position putting the juncture of her thighs perfectly level with my raging dick. Hands above my head, clinging to the edge of the tub, she reaches forward, nuzzles my nose, my cheek, my chin, and then her hips shift slightly, sending my cock plunging with ease into her. I cough my surprise, gritting my teeth, every inch of my skin suddenly tingling. Breath is hard to find. Control even harder. That was sneaky. I pant against her cheek, my cock pulsating wildly, desperate to lunge forward. Be quiet, she warns, attacking my mouth with a firm but gentle force, whimpering happily when I put up no fight. She has me just where she wants me, and rather than obsess with how uneasy she's taking it, I relish in the knowledge that she clearly finds me irresistible. She wants me. 50 years old, and she wants me. Taking my hands to her ass, I cover her cheeks with my palms and guide her in slow, amazing circles, grinding her onto me while she hums into my mouth, her tongue fighting delicately with mine. What would I ever do without this? Without her? I pull back, needing to see her face, needing to check she's real. Give me your eye.